friends, if you have your Bibles, open them up to John chapter 14. John 14. How many of you, by show of hands, how many of you are sick and tired of winter? That's everybody in the room except Carla. Listen, if you're like me, I can't wait until summertime so I can complain about how hot it is, right? I'm ready for it. I like wintertime until about today, until about February. Then I'm done with it, and I'm ready for spring, and I'm ready for winter. Really, today feels like a really good day for us to imagine that we're on a beach somewhere, doesn't it? I'm a mountain guy, I've told you that, but today I want to be a beach guy. I want to be on the beach, and I want you to do that. Well, let's literally imagine that we are on a beach. And I got a picture for you here to help get you in the mental mindset. Imagine that you're on a beach and you're watching the sunset over the water. And imagine you're there with two people. One of them is totally blind. They can't see a thing. The other one is colorblind. They can see, but they can't see the colors. And imagine that you're watching the sunset over the ocean. And as the sun is setting, you turn to your colorblind friend and you ask him to describe what he's seeing. Just curious, is anyone in the room colorblind? I got a couple of people. What do you think they would say? Hey, here's what I think they would say. They'd tell you that the sky is definitely getting darker. They could tell you that the sun is going down because the brightness is decreasing. The brightness is giving way to grayness, and the grayness is then giving way to total darkness. He could describe the sunset as he sees it, but he couldn't describe it with any accuracy. He couldn't describe what you're seeing. And now imagine you turn to your totally blind friend and you say, hey, can you describe the sunset for me? What do you think he would say? Dark. I think he could tell you the exact moment when the sun begins to set and the exact moment when it sets, because he can feel something. He can tell you the sun is going down because his skin, it feels cooler. I think he could tell you with great accuracy, but he could not describe the beauty of the picture that you're seeing today. Neither one of them could describe the colors, the beauty of the blue sky or the purple haze or the blue water. They couldn't see the beauty like what you could see. Here's the thing. They would be describing that event as best they can. They'd be describing the sunset as best they can. They would use details as best they know how to use, but neither of them can truly see the beauty of the sunset over the ocean. And you might try to describe it to them, but good luck. How do you describe the color purple to someone who's blind? How do you describe the color yellow to someone who's colorblind? Good luck to it. They just can't see it. They just can't understand it. So the best you can do is say this, man, this is beautiful. You just got to trust me. Like, it's beautiful. You just got to trust when I tell you that it's beautiful. Some of you right now in the room are going through a really tough season of life, really struggle season of life, and it's got you really nervous. Maybe it's got you really anxious. Some of you are struggling with the what ifs of life. What ifs can really make us anxious? Let me give you a couple of examples. What if I lose my job? What if my paycheck doesn't cash? What if my kid gets sick? What if I fail that test? What if I fall and sin again? What if I'm diagnosed with cancer? What if I don't make it? What if they don't make it? What if we don't make it? What if, what if, what if? Insert whatever it is that you're struggling with. What ifs can really paralyze us. But let me ask you a different question using the same what if phrase. What if the things in your life that are stressing you out and making you anxious, what if those are the very tools, those are the very things that God is using to shape your faith story and to write the book on your life? What if you're the blind man on the beach? You can't see anything, but man, you can sure feel something. What if you're like the colorblind man on the beach? You can make sense of it, you can see it, but you can't see the beauty of it all. You just need someone to come next to you and tell you just how beautiful that situation is and can ultimately be. Sometimes you just need to hear somebody say those two words. not what if, but trust God. And today, that's what I hope to do for you. Today, I hope that I can replace those what if moments in your life with two words, trust God. What I hope today is that I can walk next to you and remind you that not only is God able to write a story, but He wants to write a story with your messy and anxious and beautiful life. In John chapter 14, the disciples are getting really anxious. We've been marching through the book of John in the last couple of weeks, maybe the last month and a half or so. We've been in John chapter 13. Think about all that we've learned from John chapter 13, all that the disciples have learned in John chapter 13. They've learned that Jesus is soon to depart. He's soon to leave. Think that doesn't make them anxious? They've learned that one of them is going to betray Him. And they're wondering, who is it? Who's going to betray Jesus? You think that doesn't make them nervous, a little scared? They've heard that even Peter himself would deny Him. Think that doesn't make them anxious and scared? And then we come to John chapter 14 and we can see their anxiety. We can see the stress of the moment. And so what I want you to know today is if you can identify with them, if you are stressed out, if you are anxious about a thing, if you're asking a million and one what if questions, I want you to hear what Jesus said to the disciples. And by default, I want you to hear what He is saying to you. As the news about what would happen in the future ramped up among the disciples, their hearts were troubled. And then Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled." If you have your Bibles open to John chapter 14, let's read His words together. John chapter 14, let me invite you to stand as we honor the public reading of God's Word. We're going to read all 14 verses, John chapter 14, verses 1 through 14, beginning in verse 1. I'm reading from the Christian Standard Bible, and God's Word says this: "Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And if I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to Myself, so that where I am, you may be also. You know the way to where I'm going." "Lord," Thomas said, "we don't know where You're going. How can we know the way?" Jesus told him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. If you know Me, you will also know My Father. From now on, you do know Him and have seen Him." "Lord," said Philip, "show us the Father, and that's enough for us." And Jesus said to him, "Have I been among you all this time, and you do not know Me, Philip? The one who has seen Me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in Me? The words I speak to you, I do not speak on My own. The Father who lives in Me does His works. Believe Me that I am in the Father and the Father is in Me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Truly, I tell you, the one who believes in Me will also do the works that I do, and he will do even greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in My name, I will do it, so that the Father might be glorified in the Son. If you ask Me anything in My name, I will do it." Would you pray with me? Father, today we pray that You would move in a mighty way, that Your Holy Spirit would move in our hearts and in this room. Pray that You would help us to trust You more. Help us to believe. Help us to follow You. Help us to know that You're writing a story with our messy life. Father, I pray that You would move in a mighty way here this morning. Help us to understand Your Word. Help us to apply Your Word and be glorified as we seek to bring You glory, to live for You, to trust You. We love You. We pray all this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You can be seated. When you are anxious, when you feel anxious, Jesus gives us some steps to cure that anxiousness, to cure that anxiety. In fact, He gives us three steps to cure anxiety. Here's the first one. When you feel anxious, you should remember His promise. And that should be plural. Remember his promises. Look at verse 1. Jesus says, don't let your heart be troubled. I actually prefer the King James Version. It's just a more poetic version. It says, let not your heart be troubled. The Greek word used for trouble is a big word in the New Testament. It's translated several different ways. The idea is to be stirred up. Luke uses this word to describe people when they're upset, when they're angry. It's defined as being stirred up and troubled. John is using this word to describe the moment of emotions, where emotions take over, emotions like fear and trepidation. Your heart is stirred up. Your heart is anxious. And Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid. Let not your heart be troubled. And then he goes on to say, believe in God. Believe also in me. Hey, can I phrase that a different way for you? It's the same thing, saying it in different ways. The disciples have a million and one what if questions. They're anxious, and Jesus knows they're anxious and knows they're scared. And he effectively says to them, don't be anxious. Don't be afraid. Trust God. Believe in me. Trust God. You might want to write that in the column of your Bible if you're someone who struggles with anxiety or you're walking through an anxious season in your life. You might want to write the words, don't be anxious, trust God, next to this passage. Now that's what he said. That's how he begins. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe me. And then he goes on to give us two promises. Look at verse 2 and 3. He says, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? Your translation might say that Jesus is going away to build a mansion. Does it say that? Anyone had that in there? Your translation might say that Jesus is going away to build a dwelling place. Does anyone have that translation? Jesus the carpenter says, I'm leaving. Jesus the servant says, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. Ever the servant. Think of that. Jesus, the servant, says, I'm leaving, but I'm going to prepare a place for you. A few years back, it was probably 20 years now, Carla and I went to a wedding in Memphis. And we drove all the way to Memphis. We had blocked our hotel room with the other blocks of rooms. So you know, a hotel can block off a certain amount of rooms for a wedding. We were within that block of rooms. We showed up to our hotel. We walked into the room, and in the room, we found a basket. And in the basket were all kinds of treats that we both liked. And there was a little card in the basket. And the little card was written directly to us from the bride and the groom. They had prepared a room specifically for us. Our name was on the card. Jesus here makes a promise. I'm going to prepare a place for who? For you. If you know Christ, if you're born again, he's going to prepare a place for you. If you have repented of your sins and trusted in Jesus, then you're going to get a greater gift than a gift basket with your name on it when you show up to heaven. It's going to be more beautiful than that. He's promised that he's gone to build a place for us, but he's also promised something else. He's promised that he's going to come back and get us. Jesus is like our personal GPS, and he is the only way to heaven. If we will follow his instructions, just like your GPS, if you follow the instructions, you will get to the destination known as heaven at just the right time. Look at verse 3. He says, if I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Do you see that? If I go away and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and take you to myself so that where I am, you may be also. You know the way to where I'm going. And Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And then Jesus responds with some of the most famous words in all the Bible. In grammar, this is like an elementary grammar lesson, all right? In grammar, there are definite articles and there are indefinite articles. So a definite article is one that denotes one of many. That's an indefinite article. A definite article denotes a single thing. So let me just share an example. If you were to say, give me a pen, there's one of many pens here. I could give you any pen, and it would satisfy your request. Indefinite article, a pen. But if you were to use the definite article, give me the marker, now I know exactly what you're talking about. There's only one marker in this jar of pins. I want you to look at what Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 6. Does he use the word the or the word a? I am a way or I am the way. He uses the definite article, meaning this. He's the only way. Look at what he says. Verse 6. I am definite or indefinite? The or a? The. All right. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. He's not a way. He's not a truth. He's not a life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And then he exclusively says this, no one comes to the Father except through me. Exclusive. He's the only way to heaven. Jesus is not one of many ways to heaven. He is exclusively the only way to heaven. He is the only way. He is the only truth. He is the only life. And he made us a promise that if we repent of our sins and trust in him, we will be saved. And he made us a promise that he's gone away to prepare a place for us. And he's made us a promise that he's coming back to get us. And the only question that remains is this. Do you trust him? Do you trust him? Can you trust him? Do you trust him enough for heaven? Do you trust him enough to work in that situation that's got you all stressed out and anxious? Can you trust him? Do you trust him? Are you anxious? Are you stressed out? Well, I want you to remember his promise. And secondly, I want you to recognize his identity. The first two points are really one point. They're really married together because anybody can make a promise, right? Anybody can promise anything. A promise is only as good as the one who makes it. There's a big difference between making a promise and keeping a promise. And hear me, it becomes so much easier to trust Jesus when you remember his promise and secondly, recognize his identity together. Remember the context. Jesus has told them he's the way to heaven. He's made a promise. And now he reminds us of who he is. Look at your Bible, verse 7. If you know me, you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him. And you have seen him. Lord, said Philip, show us the Father. And that's enough for us. Jesus says in verse 7, he says, if you know me, you know the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And in verse 7, he claims to be God. It was not ambiguous. Verse 7 is clearly Jesus saying, it's a full-throated endorsement, of a full-throated statement where Jesus says, if you know me, you know the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He is saying, I am God. And Philip then looks at him and says, well, just show us the Father then. If you know me, you know the Father. And then Philip says, well, just show us the Father. And I like to imagine Jesus kind of looking at Philip like, really? Like, are you serious right now? Have you guys seen these videos of people who do some of the dumbest things? There's this guy who, there's people who really take simple things and make them incredibly complicated. And then a guy comes on the video and he shows you a very simple way to do the very easy thing that the person overcomplicated. It'll be easier to show you. Some of you will recognize this guy. Watch this video and watch how you can learn how to make a squirt bottle.
Arrange water bottle and trigger. Punch a hole to the bottle and attach a trigger to the neck of the bottle. Water gun.
Listen, I can't prove this, but I think if Jesus had a water bottle, he'd be squirting it on Philip in this moment right there. He'd be like, really? Are you serious? After all we've been through, after all you've seen, listen, Philip heard. He heard Jesus' promise. The only mistake Philip made was that he didn't recognize the identity. He heard the promise, but he failed to recognize who it was that was making the promise. He way overcomplicated it. Look at verse 9. This is Jesus' response to Philip. Jesus said to him, "Have I been among you this whole time and yet you do not know me? The one who has seen the Father, the one who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father who lives in me does his work." Jesus is like, "Philip, are you serious? You know me. You were with me when I preached all those sermons. You were there when I performed all those miracles. I've showed you how I fulfilled Scripture over and over and over again, and you still can't see who I am. You still don't know my identity." Hey, this is so simplistic, but it's also correct. Oftentimes we can overcomplicate simple things, right? Like how to make a water bottle. We can overcomplicate how to make a water bottle. Listen, this is so simplistic. Do you know how to overcome unbelief? If I were to ask you today, how do you overcome unbelief? You know what Jesus said? Look at it, verse 11. Somebody read to me the first two words in verse 11. You want to know how to overcome unbelief? Believe. Just believe. And you're like, "Brian, that is way too simplistic." And I would say to you, why would you want to overcomplicate something that is simple? Why would you want to overcomplicate it? If you want to get rid of unbelief, you do it by believing. Or to say another way, you trust God. Trust God. And now catch this. This is important. Fear and anxiety, the fear and the anxiety that you feel is really just unbelief that's wearing different clothes. Fear and anxiety is the same thing as unbelief. Listen, when you're anxious, you don't believe that God will take care of you. When you're afraid, you don't believe that God can see you. Fear and anxiety, it's just a synonym for the word unbelief. It's the same thing. It's just wearing different clothes. So when anxiety fills your heart, when the what-if questions penetrate into the depths of your soul, believe God. Trust God. Believe and trust. Don't overcomplicate it. Remember His promises. Recognize His identity. And thirdly, respond by faith. And really, the response by faith is going to be done in two ways. First, you're going to respond by serving. You're serving the Lord, but you do that by serving others. Serving the Lord by serving others does three things for you when you're anxious. First, when you're serving others, it repositions your mind. When I'm serving somebody else, I can't be dwelling on the thing that's got me fearful and anxious because I'm focused on someone else. It repositions my mind. Serving others repositions your mind. Secondly, serving others redeems your pain. When you see the Lord using your pain and your heartache and your hurts, when you see Him using the thing that causes you anxiety to bless someone else, it redeems that messiness of your pain, that harm, that hurtfulness of your pain. Serving others repositions your mind, it redeems your pain, and lastly, it reveals God's work. Jesus effectively says, get to work. That's what He's saying in verse 12. Get to work serving God. Believe in Him and get to work serving Him by serving others. Look at verse 12. He says, "Truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. And he will do even greater works than these because I am going to the Father." Get to work is what Jesus says. If you believe in me, get to work. The one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. Respond by faith through serving. And secondly, respond by faith through prayer. Look at verse 13. Jesus says, "Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it." That's prayer, by the way. "Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." Here's the bad news, my friends. Anxiety, stress, and fear are part of a fallen world. And the opportunity for you to be stressed out, anxious, and afraid is not going anywhere until we get to heaven. But hear this, just because you're invited to be stressed out, anxious, and afraid does not mean that you have to accept the invitation. You know, when you get an invitation on your phone to join some kind of event on a calendar or a Zoom conference, and you hit that button, reject. You ever done that before? You know, when you get an RSVP in the mail and you can't go to it, what do? You check no, and then you send it back. You reject the invitation. You can't make it. Here's how you can decline the invitation to be stressed out, anxious, and afraid. Are you ready for it? Here's what I want you to do. If you struggle with anxiety and fear, here's what I want you to do this week. This is a real assignment. I want you to do this week. Go home and get a box. Get something. Get anything. You can go home and look in your fridge and get that old container of potato salad that's been there for 4 weeks. It needs to go. You need to throw it away. Dump the potato salad out. Clean it up real good. And then here's what I want you to do. I want you to get your marker. And I want you to write two words on that box, on that container, whatever it is. I want you to write the words, trust God. And I want you to set it in a place where you can see in your home. And then this week, when you are struggling with something, when there's a fear that pops up in your mind or anxiety that pops up in your mind, what I want you to do is I want you to write that out. You would write out, I'm struggling with whatever it is. And then I want you to write out, but I'm trusting God. I'm struggling with, but I'm trusting God. And then you rip that off and you drop it into your trust God bucket and you say, Lord, I'm trusting you with that thing. And now here's the important part. Are you ready for it? Here's the important part. When you begin to worry and stress and be fearful and be anxious over that thing again, what I want you to do is go back to your bucket, your trust God box, and I want you to pull out that piece of paper and I want you to say, God, I don't trust you anymore with this thing. I need to worry about this a little bit on my own now. Listen, if you do that, if you go back and take it out and tell God, I can't trust you with this anymore, God, then you need to know that if Jesus were in front of you, he might be squirting you with a water bottle. He might be saying, really? Like, you can trust me for your soul? You can trust me for heaven? Look at all I've done in your life. And yet you still can't trust me with that thing? And then when you feel conviction from God, what I want you to do is drop it back into your trust God box. Listen, don't overcomplicate it. Trust God. When you're anxious, when you're stressed out, when you're afraid, remember his promise, recognize his identity, respond by faith through serving others and through prayer. That's how you cure anxiety. But I want to tell you, it's really hard. It's easy for me to tell you how to do it, but it's hard for me to apply it to my own life. Because I'm a slow learner and a fast forgetter. And I forget these things really quick. I need to know why I should do this. Why should I not be anxious? Let me share with you why you should not be anxious. Because God could be using the thing that's stressing you out the most to write a chapter in your story that will leave you breathless and bring him glory. God is writing a story that's far more beautiful than the sunset over the ocean. You're just like the blind man. You can't see it. All you can do is feel. Your mind is troubled. And what you need to do is listen to the Lord. You need to go back and read John 14, 1 through 14. You need to hear Jesus say, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." My brothers and my sisters, don't be anxious. Trust God. Trust him. He can handle whatever it is that's bothering you. And he wants to. Be anxious for nothing. We read that earlier. He wants to. Hear me, if you don't know the Lord, then you probably should be anxious and afraid. Because the end is not good for you. If you have not repented of your sins and trusted in Christ, then the end is not good. If you don't know him, repent. Jesus made salvation so easy. Repent of your sins and trust in his finished work. And if you do that, Jesus, who is God, promised that you'll be with him in heaven. If you don't know the Lord, repent and believe. Be saved. Trust God. If you do know the Lord, and you're struggling with anxious thoughts, fear, anxiety, the what ifs of life, trade the what ifs for these two words. Trust God. Don't be anxious. Trust God. To him be the glory. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful that we can trust you. And Father, oftentimes I feel like the man in the Bible who said, I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief. Father, I know there are many in the room that struggle with anxiety and struggle with fear and struggle with anxious thoughts, stressed out moments. And I know, Lord, that this sounds so simple. And yet I also know, at least in my own life, I can really overcomplicate some of the most simple things. So, Father, today I pray that you would help us to be like that little child with his mama and with his daddy, just trusting. Simple trust. Simple faith. And as we walk with you in faith and as we watch you carry us through the storm, as we see what you're doing with our lives, I pray, God, you would help us to remember these moments. Help us to remember those times when you moved in a mighty way, when you solved a problem that couldn't be solved. Grow our faith. Help us, Lord, recall to our mind your command to let not our hearts be troubled, but to believe in you, to trust in you. Father, we pray you are glorified and magnified. We pray if there's someone here who is lost, that they would repent of their sin and believe in you. I pray, Father, if there's someone here who is struggling with anxious thoughts, you would help them to believe in you, to trust you. And Father, as we do that, I pray you would help us to give you glory. Father, as we stand to worship now, help us to worship you with clean hands and a pure heart. Help us to worship you knowing that we trust you and that we love you. And more than that, help us to know that you love us and you are trustworthy. We love you, Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.